Our sermon is based on a reading from the book of... Not yet, nope. I can wait. Hey, that is cool. Lots of friends, that's so cool. So our sermon today is based on a reading from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. He said to me, O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat the scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said to me, mortal, eat this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. He said to me, mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. For you are not sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. See, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads. Like the hardest stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Thank you, God, for sweetening our lives with your word. Yep, I think I've just about exhausted every reference for honey in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I even found a couple of honey verses in the Apocrypha, the extra books that didn't make it into the official Bible, like this one from Sirach. The basic necessities of human life are water and fire and iron and salt and wheat flour and milk and honey, the blood of the grape and oil and clothing. Honey, the perfect food, found a place on Sirach's list. Honey, as I said previously, never spoils. When bees put their nectar in a honeycomb, it starts to concentrate and the water content is reduced. This process prevents bacteria and other nasties from forming in the honeycomb because bacteria and fungi cannot multiply in high concentrations of sugar. So that is why honey stays pure and never goes bad or spoils, just like God's word. God's word is always new and fresh and nourishing. The prophet Ezekiel discovered this for himself. God said to him, eat this scroll and fill your soul. When Ezekiel ate the scroll, a scroll full of God's holy word, he found it tasted like honey and it made it palatable. He may have been somewhat reluctant to eat the scroll at first, wondering what would it take like, wondering how he could eat a scroll. When he saw it, the scroll had writing on the front and back and words of lamentation and mourning and woe. Scrolls were not usually written on front and back, so this one obviously had a lot to say. And God wanted Ezekiel to gobble all those words up and then share them with the people of Israel. Perhaps the prophet hesitated a moment. Who wants to ingest words of lamentation and mourning and woe? Who wants to share news of destruction and doom? But obedient Ezekiel ate the scroll. Then the words became part of him, part of his entire being, much like the food we eat becomes part of us as we digest it, and it turns into fuel and energy for our bodies. Having eaten the scroll, Ezekiel went to the people to share God's judgment on them. And he could quite honestly say that the words he spoke were not his own. God had put the words in his mouth. God also told Ezekiel that the people would not listen to him. You almost expect Ezekiel to say, well, what's the use of going to talk to them if they won't listen to me? But the scroll eating was more for Ezekiel than for the people of Israel. It was to fortify him and get him ready to savor the words of God and let them permeate his soul and then share the honey of it, like Samson did with the honey he found in the lion. He shared it with his parents. Ezekiel was fortified with the ability to withstand the hardness and the disparaging looks he would receive as he brought the message of God to the people. It's interesting to see the parallels of the stories of the two prophets, Ezekiel and the writer of the book of Revelation, whom we call John. Both of whom were given scrolls to eat. The biggest difference is that after John ate his scroll, it made his stomach feel sour. He loved the honeyed words, but they also caused fear and anxiety in him, because like Ezekiel's words, they were full of doom and destruction and warning. Ezekiel may have been as reluctant to share what he had ingested as John was. Who wants to be the herald of gloom and doom? Who wants to be the bearer of bad news? Who wants to be the one to invoke God's vengeance? Why can't we just eat those sweet words for ourselves and sit back and relax and lick our lips and be done with it? Because that's not how it works. Ezekiel and John were entrusted with a message. As hard as it was to deliver that message, still, it was their mission to do so. Both of them shared only what he had been told to share. Neither of them made anything up, and neither of them tried to sugarcoat the message that they had received. They were sent to people who needed to hear that message, even if they didn't heed it. The prophetical pair were not to concern themselves with consequences. They were not to fight or fret about the people who didn't listen and learn. Sometimes, no matter how sweet the sound, there will be some who will ignore the sweet words we try to share. We should be sure to use these words for comfort and reassurance, not to bash and batter and deter others from tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. John and Ezekiel were proper prophets. Their call was simply to deliver the message God had given them. It was up to the hearers to decide what they wanted to do with it. There was some stark contrast between John and Ezekiel. John ate and read the scroll in the light of what he knew about Jesus, the one he saw seated on the throne in his vision of heaven. Ezekiel, who also had a vision of heaven, was aware that a Messiah was coming, and he ate the scroll in the light of that promise. But he never knew Jesus, so his message was of a hope to come. John's message was of a hope fulfilled. The Messiah Ezekiel never knew had indeed come into the world. Ezekiel's revelation was to Israel only, a nation in trouble and turmoil. But John's message was to the whole world, a message of hope that is here among us now. What John and Ezekiel had to do and what we must do is take in the word and let it permeate our senses and ourselves. We must let it become part of us. We must let the truths of God's word fortify our lives and guide our living. Another prophet, my favorite prophet, Jeremiah, sampled the sweetness of the word too. He said, "When thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word to me was joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Just like honey, God's words will never spoil. Just like honey, God's words will sweeten and refresh our souls, just as that honey Jonathan found in the forest refreshed him and opened his eyes. Just like honey, God's word will stick to our hearts and stick in our minds, enlightening us and opening our eyes. Just like honey, God's word is golden and glorious. It is the perfect soul food. Now, sometimes we do encounter some harsh, hard things in the Bible, words and stories that sting our hearts, words we wish weren't there. But if we look, we can always find the sweetness and amid the bitterness and toughness. We can always find a word of hope when we think all we can find are words of nope. Truth is sweet. God's promises are sweet. Promises to sustain us and feed us and guide us and always be with us. To stick to us like honey. Yes, we savor these promises, and like honey, they will never spoil. So let us receive and internalize and digest the word of God. Then we are made ready to spread the message, to say with the psalmist, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God offers the word to us freely, direct from God's own hand. God urges us to fill our stomachs with the words and all their promises. God urges us to let the word permeate our lives and our hearts. God urges us to have an unquenchable appetite for the work and the word. Okay, I think we're honeyed out now. But wait, how could I forget about John the baptizer, of whom it was repeatedly said he ate wild honey and locusts? You definitely need something like honey to cover the taste of a locust. And would you believe, I learned this the other day, there are actually blue bees. I wonder if they make blue honey. Wouldn't it be cool and colorful? I guess what I'm really trying to say here, honeys, is stick with me and you'll learn some sweet stuff. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for the sweetness of your words. May we be all abuzz with the truth of your love for us. Feed our souls with the honey of your promises. Amen.
Something is special, lilac, red rose, or the white willow. Young men of fortune, old men forgotten, green buds renewing, the brown leaves dead and gone. Spring and the lilacs, pale white and lavender, fill up the room of my gone mother. And when the cat springs onto the window ledge, his only greeting is the silence and the rain. And to each season something is special, lilac, red rose, or the white willow. Young men of fortune, old men forgotten, green buds renewing, the brown leaves turn gone. Deep down in autumn, all of the brown leaves fall on the garden and cover up the lawn. Let us remember each year in turn then, when there was sun enough to cover up the wrong. And to each season something is special, lilac, red rose, or the white willow. Young men of fortune, old men forgotten, green buds renewing, the brown leaves dead and gone. Roses in summer climb up the stone wall, playing with sunlight and the morning shadows. Petals as firm as the young men striding, pants filled with love, hearts filled with longing. And to each season something is special, lilac, red rose, or the white willow. Young men of fortune, old men forgotten, green buds renewing, the brown leaves turning gone. Welcome the winter, robed in its whiteness, bending down the willow with its snow blankets. And the wild berries hidden in the wood now, from all the creatures lost in the darkness. And to each season something is special, lilac, red rose, or the white willow. Young men of fortune, old men forgotten, green buds renewing, the brown leaves dead and gone. Welcome winter, robed in its whiteness, bending down the willows with its snow blankets, and all the wild berries hidden in the wood now, from all from the creatures lost in the darkness, only forgotten. Leave to me something, for I've no family now but that of man. Tell all the young men passing in the lanes now, soon I'll be coming down to take my place with them. And to each season something is special, lilac, red rose.